The shiurim today and tomorrow are dedicated for the schus and the bracha v'atzlacha to the fundraiser that Torah Academy of Minnesota is doing over the next couple of days. If someone wants to donate, there will be a link in the podcast notes. Otherwise, you could find it elsewhere. And I just want to add a few points to consider. Number one is that Torah Academy is your quintessential community school. Everyone is accepted regardless of financial status, and if someone can't pay tuition, they accept people with open arms. In addition to that, it's a community school in the sense that not everyone is a certain type. All observant Jews, and even those that are not necessarily observant, but not yet observant, are included in the school, and it is an honor for us to send our children there. My wife went to Torah Academy as well, and we have tremendous hakaras hatayv. So I don't think I ever did any fundraising on a podcast, but we'll make an exception today. Additionally, I want to point out two other things. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kufnun Nun Gimel in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. This is found in Sivav. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. Kufnun Gimel Sivav, the Shulchan Aruch says, and he's discussing the halachas regarding selling Dvarim Shebekdusha. Is one allowed to sell a Sefer Torah? Are you allowed to sell a shul? And the Shulchan Aruch quotes a tshuva from the Rush, that you are allowed to sell a shul or anything that's Dvar Shebekdusha, that would include tefillin, mezuzos, and even a Sefer Torah, lahaspokas tamidim, in order for the tamidim to be supported, in order to be able to teach the next generation Torah, you are allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah adds, the Dvar zeh techachas megula lo'isin ha'anashim, it's a explicit rebuke for those, hamisrashlim ha'achzik Torah b'areim, that they lack in the enthusiasm to do achzokas ha'Torah, to support Talmud Torah in their cities. And many organizations are more exciting to donate to. They fill a different type of need, and most organizations are in fact worthy. In Hilchos Tzedakah, most of them are Yoytza, according to the Ramah. When a person gives money to those organizations, you're Yoytza Tzedakah, and you could probably use it as Meiser money. But the highest level is Hachzakas HaTorah, and the Mishnah Berurah says, you see, you could even sell a Sefer Torah. So you see the significance of being able to support those that are learning Torah. Additionally, just an historical fact, personally I spent several years working full-time in Kashrus, and part of my job was to travel to many different cities in the Midwest. And depending on how long I stayed in the city, I would try to find out, is there a Beis HaKvaris here? Is there an ancient shul? And go down the list, Bismarck, North Dakota, Grand Forks, North Dakota, many cities in Wisconsin, Duluth, Minnesota, even Centerville, Iowa in the early 1900s had a small shul, which is now a church, unfortunately. And many of these shuls have been turned into churches, and you can't even visit. There's nothing to see there. And there's one thing they had in common, even though many of them were different in how observant they were, in how, what their background was. Some were from Lita, some were from Germany, some were from Russia. But they had one thing in common, and that is that they did not open up Jewish schools. They did not invest in Talmud Torah for their children in a significant way, maybe an hour or two here and there on a Sunday, but they did not have a real Jewish education. Torah Academy stood out 79 years ago with several of my family members, amongst other individuals, who, through the help of Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, Zetzal of Tarvadas, they started a school, and everyone told them that they are crazy, didn't make sense. There were even Rabbanim, and we whitewashed the history. There were Rabbanim in Minneapolis who were against the formation of a school. This is not our mahalach. We have to be more American. And through that, they persevered with Mesiras Nefesh from a financial standpoint, from a public opinion standpoint, from a political standpoint with the local government. They moved on. They did what they needed to do with tremendous betachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see the tremendous payers that many of these cities throughout the Midwest and even in New York State, there's nothing left. And they did not all move to Lakewood and the five towns. There are hundreds and thousands of families that there's no sheiris, there's nothing left as far as Yiddishkeit from 100 years ago. We had a hustling, a bustling city of Hibbing, Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, Omaha, Nebraska. What's left? A handful of Yidden in nursing homes throughout the states. You don't really have much of Sheiris from that. But Minneapolis was different. The few people that rolled up their sleeves and did what they needed to do, they built a beautiful school. With that being said, many out-of-town communities struggle with the fact they do not have the infrastructure, mostly from a financial standpoint, to be able to support their own maestas, and very often they need to reach out to others for outside monies. So even though the Mishabura says he's giving Musar for those Ba'arein in their cities, the out-of-town communities need, apidera chateva, they need to come on to those outside of their community to be able to support their maestas. And I know most of my listeners are not from Minneapolis, according to my podcast data. They are not from the city. They are from elsewhere. So I'm asking those that could to be able to give whatever you can to be able to support. This is the highest level of tzedakah, hachzakas, talmud Torah. And you should know it's going to a good cause. It's a community school. And this is bringing up the next generation, keeping Yiddishkeit alive in a far-flung city in Minneapolis.